hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, the commentary on this hadith from the book of Jamal Zaragoza in the English language. So far we have come to the second hadith. We've been spending quite some time on the second hadith, the hadith of Jibreel, as it is known. And we have just finished last week a discussion of the articles of faith. And so today, inshallah, we will review again the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that he states that once they were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there entered upon their gathering a man who nobody knew. And his hair was black of black, and the clothing on him was the whitest that they had ever seen, or the whitest of white. And there was no sign of travel on him, and nobody knew him. And he made his way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat down in front of him, with his knees touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he put his hands on his thighs, and he said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about Islam." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Islam is to worship, worship Allah alone without partner, or is to say, to declare that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone without partner, and that Muhammad is his messenger and his servant. And it is to make the five daily prayers. And then it is to fast the month of Ramadan. And then it is to pay the zakah. And lastly, to make the pilgrimage to the house if one has the means to do so." And so he replied to him, "You have spoken truthfully or correctly." And the people were amazed that he asked the question, and then he had told the Prophet ﷺ that he had spoken truthfully. And so then he asked him about Iman. So the Prophet ﷺ replied, "It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in a divine decree, both the good and the evil thereof." Then he said, "You have spoken truthfully." Then he asked him, "Tell me about Al-Ihsan." And he, the Prophet ﷺ, answered, "It is that you worship Allah as if you see him, and even though you do not see him, you know he sees you." And this is our subject for today, inshallah. The subject for today is the discussion of Al-Ihsan. Before we begin, though, on the discussion of Al-Ihsan, I'd asked you a question last week. Who can remember what that question was? I asked you to think about something over the weekend. Amr says, "Can dua change the qadr?" Anybody else? Nobody else remembers? Okay. So what is the answer to the question then? If we say, can dua, or can, the question really was, can qadr change, period. So who knows the answer to that question? The World of Peace says the qadr can change. And Jamal is agreeing. And Islami says qadr can change to another qadr. Any other ideas? Amr has the question, are there two types of qadr, one that does not change and one that can? We will answer that, inshallah, but who can tell me if qadr changes or not? Oh, come on. I gave the class on this last week. We didn't talk about the two types or anything like that. We talked about qadr, and we should be very clear answer as to qadr. We answered it numerous times in the lecture last week. So who knows if qadr can change? Oh no, you guys are making me feel bad now. Qadr cannot change. No, absolutely not. Qadr cannot change at all. Exactly, we have a qadr is fixed, and that is all. It is fixed. Remember, we said that it is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. It's something that it's very clear. You know, it's something which is Allah has written it. And in fact, this is what, as we said, the first thing that Allah created was. Who remembers? Pen, right, the pen. And then Allah, after He created the pen, He told the pen to do what? Right, exactly. Write what? Everything that will happen, exactly. So that's exactly right. So when Allah caused it to write down everything that would happen before even He created anything else, before the world was created, before the human beings were created, before the jinn were created, before everything was created, He asked, He had told the pen to write things down, to write everything down. So this is the record, okay? This is the record that you cannot change. Just like we mentioned the example of the examinations that I gave you, that you have a test and you cannot change the answers, correct? I'm sorry, you cannot change the questions themselves, right? Isn't that what we mentioned in the example? It's like a test. And now, World of Peace and Amr, you guys are thinking, everybody's thinking about something else. So they're thinking about al-qada', not with a ra at the end. Al-qadr, qaf, dal, ra. Okay, that's qadr. Al-qada' is something else. Okay, al-qada' is something that does, you know, it can change, absolutely, it can change. Okay, it's also something which is recorded, but it is somewhat different. Okay, and that's a completely different subject. Okay, al-qada', qaf, wad, alif, hamza. Okay, we did not talk about this last week. I think maybe it would be beneficial then, inshallah, if we have a class on this sometime then to make the differentiation. But the thing that Amr, that you mentioned initially about dua changing something, this is from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when one of you makes a dua, that his dua goes up to the heaven, it's lifting or rising up into the heaven, and it meets with the qada. Okay? And they argue, or they meet in the sky, and one pushes against the other, and so your du'a can change al-qada, as well as your sins. Your sins can change al-qada, but all of it is part of qadr. Qadr is nothing that can be changed. The qadr, which is Allah's knowledge of what will happen, does not change. Okay, Allah does not change His mind. Okay. And so maybe, inshallah, we'll have a separate discussion about qadr and qada, the differences between them, and the details concerning qada in specific. But please know, inshallah, this is a very, very important point. And if we need to repeat the class today, we repeat the class today if you guys still in confusion. But qadr does not change. Allah has written it down, and it will not change. It's absolutely not. This is from Allah's knowledge, and it's Allah's written record, and it does not change whatsoever. Nothing you can do can change it. Okay? Very different from al-qada. So I hope, inshallah, we're on the same page. Yes, everybody has qadr and qada. But inshallah, al-qada is probably going to it's not a 5-minute discussion. It's something which will take a little bit more time to explain and to have a better understanding of it. So I think, inshallah, it's best for us to maybe take a separate class for that and review al-qadr and discuss the meaning of al-qada. But in general, what you should remember is qadr of Allah is Allah's knowledge, His foreknowledge of everything, and that does not change. He knows what's going to happen before it's going to happen. And it will never change, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what, it will not change. Al-qada is something which is a form of preordainment, but it is susceptible to change. And this is depending on du'a, also depending on sin. For example, sometime you have a certain qada, but no, going to heaven or hell is not part of al-qada, it's part of al-qadr. So al-qada is in reference to, for example, some matters of the provision of a rizq, It's regarding some matters of ibtilah. One maybe easy way of mentioning it might be is that the level of something or the intensity of something we can say might be part of al-qada, whereas the matter itself is part of qadr. And how do I mean? For example, if Allah has made it your qadr to be in a car accident, okay, you can somewhat say that al-qada is maybe going to give the intensity of that accident, God forbid. And so the qada can change. If you made dua, if you made the dua when you got into the car, when you left the house, and you were remembering Allah during the driving, this may soften the accident, but it cannot prevent the accident. Okay. The same with your rizq. Your rizq is Allah has given you a portion of rizq, which is part of the qadr and the qada. And concerning the qada, this there's some fluctuation in the qada. But again, the qada is nothing that can be changed. All of these matters we just discussed right now are all written by in Allah's book, and they're all part of Allah's knowledge. He knows them before they will happen. Okay, He knows when you're going, even when you're going to make the du'a to soften al qada. He knows when you're going to sin, and it's going to reduce your rizq. That all of this is part of the qadr. So, but again, I think if we try to discuss it now, I might confuse you more. But we want to just, make the very strong, final point of qadr is with Allah. It does not change. It's written, and it is complete. Any questions before we move on? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Al-Qadr was not written only for 50,000 years. It was written 50,000 years, as it is mentioned in some narrations, 50,000 years before the creation of anything else, before the creation of this world, that it was already written. But it was not written for the period of 50,000 years. So don't think that after, if the world was to extend beyond 50,000 years, it's beyond Allah's Qadr. No. Allah has written everything that will happen, from the beginning of the creation until the people are placed in their, in the heaven or the hellfire. Okay? So everything has been written. So, inshallah, if no questions more, then we will go on to a very brief discussion of al-ihsan. Al-ihsan, as we just mentioned, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, it is to behave as if you see Allah, for surely you cannot see Him, but you know that He sees you. Okay? So this is a high level. Okay? This is the highest level. Once the person's iman is complete, then he can go on to al-ihsan. Okay? This is the highest level of the, of the close of the consciousness or the taqwa that the person can reach. Because again, the person is behaving as if Allah is watching him. One of the things that we ask Allah to protect us from it is called al-ghafla, and it's to be heedless. And one of the problems with heedlessness and al-ghafla is that we become heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Allah says in the Quran, that they forgot Allah, and so He caused them to forget their own selves. Okay? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Okay? And do not be like those who forgot about Allah, and so Allah caused them to forget about themselves. And this is from the ghafla. They didn't forget about Him in the general sense, but they forget about Him in the conscious sense. So they're not conscious of Allah in their day-to-day activities, so Allah caused them to forget their own souls, their own selves. And what does that mean? That means that they started being heedless of their own activities and their own actions. Okay? And so this causes the person to continue to, you know, to behave and forget that he's going to be accountable for his actions. Right? And this is a terrible, terrible thing. We ask Allah's protection from it. And ghafla is destruction for the soul and for the human being. So al-ihsan implies that the matter referred to is something known and recognized by the speakers. So here they mention the fact that ihsan, which basically means to perfect something, to perfect the action, as Allah has mentioned in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما طعموا إذا ما اتقوا. On those who believe and do righteous good deeds, there is no sin for what they ate in the past if they fear Allah. إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And so if they fear and believe and do righteous deeds, and again fear Allah and believe, and once again fear Allah, and do the good deeds with ihsan, and Allah loves those who are the muhsineen, the good doers, or maybe even a better translation, are the ones who perfect their actions. Okay, so this is the highest level. You don't just want to contribute, you know, your ibadah to Allah. You want to perfect the ibadah. Okay, so this is, if we want to continue with our little high school example from last week about tests and things like that, this is not just turning in the assignment. Okay, the obligation for passing the class is to turn in the term paper, right? But now, you don't want to just turn in any kind of term paper, okay? You just don't want to look at the requirements and meet the bare requirements. You want to make the best term paper that anybody ever turned in. You want to make the best work that anyone ever did before. And this is an ihsan. You want to perfect every action that you have for Allah's sake, because you know that this action is going to be for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And thus, you want it to be the best. You want Allah to reward you for the best of your deeds. And so, Jibreel alayhi salam was asked about this, so that the people was asking about it, so the people would understand how great and important a concept this is. This is al-Haythami, his explanation from al-Haythami. So, looking at the basic meaning, the lexical meaning, the dictionary meaning of al-ihsan implies doing well, doing goodness, behaving with others in a good manner. It is the opposite of causing harm to someone else. In such a case, the form of the word will be followed with a preposition. However, the word also implies perfecting something or doing something in the best way. This is perhaps closer to what is meant by the word ihsan in this particular hadith. However, the two concepts are not inseparable. A person will behave towards others in the best way possible if he is truly doing that to please Allah. Hence, he excels both in his relationship toward Allah, or the rights of his worship, as well as in his relationship to Allah's creatures, due to his knowledge that Allah is watching him. Therefore, ihsan is a very comprehensive term. It includes all types of acts of goodness to others. Its meaning is that a person spreads good instead of harm to others. He uses his wealth, his knowledge, position, and body to do good to others. He gives part of his wealth in zakah and charity, and that is ihsan. He spreads his knowledge and never misses an opportunity to guide others by Allah's permission, and that is ihsan with respect to his knowledge. He uses his rightful position and influence to help those that are deserving and in need of help, and this again is ihsan. He helps his brother get into his car or to carry something. All these are examples of ihsan with regard also to the body. So in this hadith, of Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give a dictionary type of definition of ihsan. Instead, he explained the main motivating factor behind ihsan, which is excellence. And that is the fact that Allah is watching your actions. So if the heart is aware of that fact, again, if there is no ghafla, we ask Allah again for his protection from al-ghafla. So if the heart is aware of Allah's, you know, supervision, the person will hope to please his Lord and fear displeasing him. This will bring about purity in his heart. And when such ikhlas or sincerity is present in the heart, he will do what he can for Allah's sake. And this also means that he will try to do everything in the best possible way. He will be concerned about the quality of his deeds and not simply their quantity or outward execution. Okay? So, I would like everybody right now who is listening to the lecture, inshallah, just to type in an example of ihsan. Give me an example of ihsan with regard to any activity. There's a million and one acts of worship that we can do, from Salah to Siyam to Zakat to Sadaqah to Hajj to Umrah to studying, to seeking knowledge, to helping each other, to feeding the poor, many things. So give me an example of how you, give me an example of the action and how you can make ihsan with the action. Okay, so rehab says to help someone in need. Okay, so this is something which is a good deed. Now how can you make ihsan in that regard? I want to know what you think about, I want you to think about it yourself. What exactly can you do to be more excellent in helping someone in need? So for example, right now, I can help somebody in need. I can go by and walking down the street, somebody says, hey, you know, brother, you got $5? And so I give him $5. Okay, now I want you to tell me how I can make ihsan in this regard. Giving him the $5 is good. Good action. Alhamdulillah, this is worship. I want to make it excellent now. Good. You can give them da'wah. You can tell them about Islam. What else? Other ideas. You can be kind. You can be gentle with them, right? With a good word. That's what I like. I like to see that. With a good word, benefiting them by teaching them, and also by talking to them kindly. Exactly. That's what this is essential. Because you can just put the money in his hand and walk away, and you see this happening all the time. Look at people. Just, you know, subhanAllah, if you're out on the street, I don't know how many of you live in cities, but just look at the people when they walk by somebody and somebody asks them for money. Sometimes people don't even talk to them. I mean, they got, you don't have to give them the money. Let's say you don't have the money. Let's say the guy looks like a druggie. Okay? Looks like he's going to go and use the money right away to buy drugs. Does that give you the right then to just ignore him? Turn. Smile at him. Say, you know, I'm sorry. I don't have anything to give you right now. It's not lying. We don't have anything to give him. So being kind and gentle, smiling, being easy, being gentle with the person, not making them feel humiliated because they're asking you for the money. Okay? Someone asks you for $5. Let's say a Muslim asks you for $5. A good Muslim brother that you know, and he's in a bad position. Ihsan can be to give him $10. Right? So this is all examples of ihsan. Okay, somebody mentioned going to the masjid for the prayers. Okay? So right now, I would like you to give me an example now of ihsan with the prayer. Praying the sunnah, good. Now what can you do even with the salah itself? You ever see somebody praying next to Khushua? Good. That's what I want to look for. You ever see somebody that's standing next to you looking at his watch? Scratching his head? Scratching his ankle? So focus is very critical, alhamdulillah. Focus, okay? And be humble, alhamdulillah. You guys are getting the idea, good. So this is very important. So when you're going to go to make your salah, it's not just making the salah. The point is not just to stand up there and bang out four rakahs and you're done. That's not what it's about. Some people, you see them, I'm sure everybody in this room has had the experience before where he's watch somebody pray, as you watch him, you say, subhanAllah, there is no way this person even is saying a surah al-Fatiha, because by the time you get to Malik Yawm al-Din, the guy is in sujood. Right? Have you guys experienced that? I mean, you don't know how, the pecking, this is how it's been mentioned before, like from the, I've seen some articles like that, about the pecking in prayer. I mean, these people are flying through salah. It's like aerobics for them. It's not salah anymore. But you know, if the sheikh comes in, or if the emir of the masjid comes in, or if you know the mayor comes in, or whatever, then they're gonna stand up and be polite and you know and act you know formal. You're standing in front of Malik al-Muluk, the king of the kings. Rabb al-Alameen, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one that created you and the one that will account you the one that he will stand with him with no translator between you. So how is it then that we can stand in Salah like that? So the khushu' is critical in the Salah. So this is, we have to look at all of our actions this way. This is al-ihsan. It's every action you want to find out how you can make it better for Allah's sake. And this is not just in the actions in front of the people. In fact, better in the actions which they're not in front of the people. When you're by yourself, how do you make the Salah to the Witr when you're at home before you go to bed? How do you make Salah to the Witr? What is the quality of your Salah? Do you feel like when you get from the Salah that you resist with Allah? That you're just communicating with your Lord? Do you remember what you even recited in the Salah? Some people, they don't even remember what they recited in the Salah because they're focusing on other things. So taking the time in the Salah, this is the khushu', focusing on what you're saying, focusing on the standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the ihsan in the Salah. And this is something that only the person will understand if he gets to this point. As he says, Allah is watching. This Allah is in front of me. I am bowing, I am making sujood to Rabb al-Alameen, the one that created everything. So how I can stand and I don't, you know, I'm not even focusing on what I'm saying. Well, Allah knows what's in your heart. So this is the thought and process of the Muhsin. The thought process of the Muhsin in regard to, for example, is of the Siyam. He wants to perfect the Siyam, because Siyam, as we all know, is not just withholding water and drink from yourself. It's also غَدَّ الْبَصَرُ وَحَفْضَ الْلِسَانِ. It's also lowering the gaze and guarding your tongue. So how is it then that we, the people, they can go out and they can argue, or they can insult others, or they can make riba, or gossip, or backbiting, or whatever, and they're fasting? How can they be standing outside and checking out all the people going by? This is not the part of the Siyam. So the one has to again remember, Allah is watching. Is this fast going to be accepted by Allah? And this is, in fact, one of those characteristics of al-ihsan. If you're so worried, is Allah going to accept? And it's one of the things you're going to find in the people who are in the basic levels. They don't even think about Allah accepting. They just think, hey, I did it. It's like, you know, gosh, you're doing Allah a favor here. But when you understand the relationship between you and Allah better, then you start to be more concerned about Allah accepting your action. Like Abu Bakr, you look at the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, afraid if he would be accepted by Allah on his death. The one that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him so much. He guaranteed him Jannah. And he's afraid. He's afraid if Allah will accept his action. Look at Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told one of the Sahaba about the Munafiqeen, name by name. Who are the Munafiqeen? Who are the hypocrites? Umar ibn Khattab went to him and said, tell me if I'm one of them. He's afraid. Am I one of the Munafiqeen? Because he's so concerned about his action being accepted by Allah, his ibadah being accepted by Allah. This is part of ihsan. All this is part of ihsan. And this is what we have to be focusing on now. So when you understand, inshallah, we have to go back and understand the qadr a little bit, but when you understand and you focus and you have a clear concept of the actions of Islam and the actions of al-Iman and the belief of Iman and the belief of Islam, and you go on further. And the further part here is understanding the relationship between Allah, and this is the fundamental point or the column or the support, the foundation of the relationship between you and Allah is your taqwa. Are you cognizant? Are you aware of Allah and His supervision over you? Are you aware that every word coming out of your mouth is being recorded? And so you guard what you say, because you don't want to be taking, you know, thousands of years in the accounting because of the foolishness that we speak. This is what we have to be thinking about, all of this part of ihsan. Another aspect of it that is mentioned here is that the person who reaches the higher level of ihsan has reached a level wherein his heart practically witnesses to Allah Azza wa Jal, when he becomes full of pleasure when being alone with Allah, and when he remembers Allah speaks to him and beseeches him. These acts become the most beautiful and enjoyable acts in his eyes, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that undoubtedly at this level of worship of Allah, he has said regarding it, the sweetness of my eye has been made the prayer. وَجُعَلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And the sweetness of my, or the refreshment of his eye, or his heart, was made in the salah. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ had any kind of problem, he would say to Bilal, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. Give us relief from these problems, O Bilal. By what? By making the adhan. Let's go pray. Because when we go to Allah, we become, you know, don't want to talk like the Sufis here, but, you know, we can say, for example, you become lost in Allah because you beseech Him. He is your Lord. He is your God. He is Allah. And so you go to Him with your problems, and you go and you leave the problems with Him because, you know, He's the one that can take care of them. You go to Him knowing that He knows you better than yourself because He knows your mistakes and He knows your weakness and He knows everything. And so then this is the relationship again. So this is the sweetness of it, okay? That sweetness that you get to the point that you have a good relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so is there any questions on this so far? Okay, so the next point, inshallah, maybe the last one we'll discuss today is the difference between al-muraqada and al-mushahada. And these are two aspects or two levels of ihsan. Okay, al-muraqada is the lower level. And this is basically where the person worships Allah, realizing that Allah is watching him and knows both what goes on externally and inside of the person's heart and soul. Okay, and so this is al-muraqabah, which means the level of one who is being observed and watched. And this is the level of ihsan, is important and beneficial, but not as high as al-mushahada. Okay, now this muraqabah is important because the person knows that Allah is seeing him and observing him, and this can drive a Muslim to perfect and excel his acts of worship. And so this is important. But al-mushahada, okay, is the feeling of being watched. He does not experience the same feelings as is recorded here. He does not experience the same feelings of awe and humility than the feeling of he who is practically seeing Allah in front of him. Thus, the presence of either level of ihsan makes the person worship Allah in an excellent manner, and that is what ihsan would imply linguistically. Those that reach the level of ihsan are far ahead of those who may know and believe, but unfortunately only at the theoretical or academic level do they know that Allah knows and witnesses all things. Okay? And so Ibn Uthaymeen notes that other aspects that differentiate between these two levels of ihsan. He says that ihsan with respect to the worship of Allah is where the person worships Allah as if he sees him, as is stated in the hadith. This type of worship is the worship of craving, yearning, and delight. This makes the person on his very own very keen on performing the acts of worship. That is because he sincerely loves that act and will seek that act of worship because he loves it so much. He will anxiously desire to get close to Allah and will turn to him as if he is seeing Allah. The lower level of al-ihsan is one of fleeing and of fear. If one does not worship Allah as if he is seeing him, he must at least realize that Allah is seeing him, and that is, he is being watched. His deeds are being accounted for. Hence, the person should fear the watcher's punishment and displeasure. And this level will drive the worship, but it's considered lower than the first. However, both of them are beneficial, and both of them will lead to perfection of the deeds. And so, inshallah, we will stop on this point today. Inshallah, let's see if there's any questions or comments. I hope that you will not be, you know, shy or embarrassed because, you know, to ask any question or to have anything repeated. It's not a problem whatsoever, and I don't have any qualms about you saying, you know, gosh, I just didn't understand that point, can you repeat it? Or even if you say, I just wasn't listening, my mind strayed, can you repeat it? I don't mind, alhamdulillah. The important thing here, we're all here, we're all Muslim, alhamdulillah. We're all gathering together to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to try to benefit our time with the remembrance of Allah and with increasing our knowledge in the deen. And so this is the point of this course and of these classes and of the time that we spent. And so, alhamdulillah, you know, even if we are only able to cover one paragraph every week, this is not a problem with me. The problem is if we not, you know, learning something. And so I want you to learn something, inshallah. I want you to understand everything, and I don't want to go too fast. I don't mind, wallahi, to go much slower if this will benefit everybody and give everybody more of a chance for interaction and the questioning and things like that. And no stupid questions, wallahi. The stupidest question is the one that's not asked. So we have is asking, is there any difference between a believer and a person with ihsan? Of course, there's a difference between the two. The person with ihsan is beyond. He is above the one with just the belief. Okay, and this is what we mentioned. The circles, okay, that we have the outermost circle, the biggest circle is the circle of Islam. Okay, and then inside that circle you have a smaller group, okay, higher level, which is the level of al-Iman. And the people that reach Iman are different than the people who are just Muslim. And then beyond that, you have the persons who are the people of al-Ihsan. And so again, as what we're mentioning here, is the point is that people, every Muslim knows that Allah is watching him, okay, on a theoretical level. If you ask a Muslim, you stop a Muslim in the street, you ask him. Even the guy could be smoking a cigarette, okay? You tell him, you ask him, does Allah know what we're doing on this earth? Is Allah watching us? What he will say? He will say, yes, of course, Allah knows. But this, it's not affecting him. That's why he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. Or anybody else who is making any kind of sin, okay, standing there, he's not going to be, it's not penetrating the mind. Okay, so the level of ihsan, the one that we mentioned, which is the lowest level of an ihsan, okay, which is al-muraqada, that you are aware of Allah is watching you. Okay, you are aware of that point. And mushahada is the higher level, which is as if you are seeing Allah. Okay? And so, World of Peace asks, you said seeing Allah in front of him, what can we imagine, what image can we give to Allah? This is not really an image that we're trying to give, but you knowing Allah is in front of you. Okay? So this is a higher level and a different level. And again, the difference between the two is that the one, it's like, you know, for example, if you're, let me see, mushahada. The correct spelling of mushahada. This is in English, we can write it this way. If you like it in Arabic, I tell it to you in Arabic, inshallah. But, so this is, for example, no, alhamdulillah, no problem. So what we're talking about here is, so let's say, for example, I mean, I don't know anybody in here, maybe you heard your parents talking about, you know, you heard your parents talking about, you know, your grandparents or your great-grandparents, okay? So they might tell you a story. So you have some kind of, you know, mental image of them, okay? It's not necessarily, you know, a face and a nose and a smile and all this kind of thing. You just, you know, you have an idea of somebody, okay? And so something that gives you comfort, you might think about it, okay? So with seeing Allah in front of you, it's not like you're imagining someone sitting or someone and the throne and this and that. No, it's not necessarily this kind of picture that you're getting, but you're being aware that Allah is there. And when you think of Allah, okay, when you think of Allah, like an image of the attributes, yes, like mercy and kindness and gentleness and goodness and all these kind of things. But when you think about Allah, what do you think about? Okay? I say, Allah is watching you. Say, alhamdulillah, so you want to run to Him. You say, oh Allah, I want to run to worship because I miss being with Allah. I miss the remembrance of Allah. I miss this. Okay? Are you concerned about the hammer? So this is the difference between muraqabah and mushahada. Okay? Muraqabah, again, is it comes from an yuraqib, okay, to watch, okay, and mushahada comes from shahid, which is to witness. So the difference between watching and witnessing here, Okay, so the watching, the person who knows Allah is watching him, he's more really afraid of the punishment. So he doesn't want to screw up. The mushahid, he is witnessing to Allah. He knows Allah is there, and he wants to run to him, and he wants to perfect, and he wants to, he is, the worship for him is a pleasure. It's not just some, it's not an obligation anymore. And so this is what we think about. So when you think about Allah, what are you thinking about? And you see this. I mean, you look at the different people. You see some people who are, you know, really, really, really concerned about, you know, about the punishment. You know, the hellfire is always coming up with them. Others, you know, they have more balance. And this is what we're looking for, the balance. This witnessing aspect is more of a balance aspect. Is that you know Allah punishes, and you're afraid of the punishment, and you fear the punishment, and it brings you to tears. Okay, but at the same time, you don't forget about the mercy. So you have to have that hope. The hope and the fear, they have to both be there. So when you think about Allah, this is the mushahada is more about loving and more about the enjoyment that one gets. Muraqabah is more about the fear and someone who's kind of forcing himself to think about it. Other people, they kind of know. They have this consciousness, this God consciousness that we say, taqwa. Is that clear? I hope I didn't make the water muddier. Alhamdulillah. And so Amr asked about what was the name of the lowest form of ihsan, and this is again we tried to say it's al-muraqada, but again what you should be more concerned about, if you like the Arabic, alhamdulillah, it's good to know it. It's better to know it, in fact. But for everyone else, it's just the aspect of watching. What's that? Gasa? Anadir, I don't know what you were saying. G-A-T-H-A-A. What's this? Qada? Okay, yes. Qada, inshallah, we'll have a class separate on that issue, inshallah. So let's try to maybe leave that aspect for a class devoted to it, inshallah. It's not something that we can just give a quick definition of, I think, without bringing up maybe more questions. So inshallah, prefer inshallah to do that. Maybe inshallah, what I can do if everybody's happy with that, we just do it inshallah next week for this time frame. We'll just talk about the qada wal qadr next Thursday, inshallah. Starting at 7:30, inshallah. That way we can, inshallah, everybody can be present, and inshallah we can review the concept of al-qadr and do everything about al-qada as well. But any questions or any other comments, ideas, questions on al-ihsan or perfection of the actions? Anything at all? Again, don't be afraid to ask any question. Whatever question comes to mind, you know, no silly questions here, wallahi. It's not necessarily to do something more than it is required, it's to perfect the action. So for example, it is making wudu. I mean, you can make wudu by, you know, you can wash the hands, you can rinse the mouth, you can rinse the nose, wash the face. I mean, you can do it. You can get by, but the issue here is perfecting it. Not necessarily if you don't have ihsan, you're doing something wrong, but you're not doing it as good as you can. So again, let's try to make the example of like writing an essay for school. Okay, you can write the essay. Okay, and you can get you by, you know, it will meet the requirements, you get a C on it or something like that, but you're not trying to do the best that you can, you're not trying to do the best paper that anyone ever wrote, so you're trying to do the very, very best, and so that's the difference here, okay, for example, you know, you know, with salah. There is, I mean, the acceptable salah, I mean, again, to meet the criteria of salah, they're very clear. But that's very different than the one who comes out of his salah, you know, with the khushua, with this humility, okay? That he felt like he was just with, you know, standing before the Lord of the universe. Very different when type of feeling that people have, okay? So this is what you can see, for example, that some people, you know, they can go and make prayer and go right back into the haram, okay? So this is someone who is not getting any, you know, anything with his salah, so his salah is not affecting him. Although he might have all of the outward components of it. So ihsan is really more of something internal in many ways. I mean, there are outward aspects of an ihsan, but it is something more internal than anything else. And so the effect of an ihsan is not something necessarily you're going to see on the outside, okay? But you're going to feel that on the inside. And you're going to see it in the individual. The muhsin is going to be, in many cases, be clear from the others because of his desire to perfect the actions. So does that clarify the issue a little bit as well? Any other question, inshallah, today? Wa iyyakum. What, inshallah, we can do from now, inshallah, I'll try to end the class maybe, you know, maybe if we start at 7:30, I try to end it around 8:10, and that's where we leave, you know, a good 20 minutes, inshallah, for question and answer, and good time for any kind of discussion, so we have plenty of time. And again, please remember when we're giving the class, wallahi, I don't have any problem. I will never be insulted or feel bad if you need to, you know, write something on the board and say, you know, please, can we go over that point again? I didn't understand it. You know, it's okay, alhamdulillah. It's not a problem whatsoever, wallahi, to do that. And again, we have our intention and our desire is to remember Allah and to benefit from that remembrance, and so we're all here as together, and I am not any better than anybody. In fact, maybe I'm the lowest of you, and so I have no problem, Allah. I don't ever feel that there's any kind of this kind of hierarchy or anything like that. So please, inshallah, yeah, you know, my desire is to make sure that you guys are benefiting. And I am your servant in that regard. So whatever it is that I can do to benefit your understanding and benefit your relationship with Allah, this is my goal, and this is what we're trying to do, inshallah. So the Muslim, you asked, does lying break the salah? Lying does not break the salah. Again, this is lying is a sin, but it has nothing to do with the salah. Very briefly, Jamal, the question is a bit off the topic, but a non-believer who never heard of the Prophet ﷺ or did not have an opportunity to understand the Prophet ﷺ, and this is something that only Allah would be able to know, only Allah would be able to judge, then the Prophet ﷺ has said that these people will be tested in their grave. Okay? They will be tested in the hereafter. They will, Allah will test them in regards to the deen. And so this is for the people who really, you know, they were left out of the loop, so to speak, and they didn't catch on. So it's this is their situation, and Allah knows best. And Layla, maybe she knows better than me, and maybe can give you some additional instruction on that point. Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, this is the end of our class, inshallah, and I look forward very much to seeing you all next week, and wa iyyakum jamian, and alhamdulillah, I always learn a lot too, alhamdulillah, I learn a lot with being here, and inshallah, Allah reward us and give us benefits, and success from the time we spend here, inshallah. So we see each other, inshallah, next week. And inshallah.